The podcast you're about to listen to contains mature content and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
In this second half of our podcast, we're going to attempt to generate some organic dialogue through reading part of Romans chapter 12. Welcome to the Church for Fucked Up People. This is, I guess, the second half of our Eric Stallone epic interview. It's been unreal. Dude, what are you going to do now with like your huge load of fans after this episode?
I know, seriously. You could call it the Eric Stravaganza.
Oh.
Dude, that ain't bad.
Yeah.
Your jokes normally nauseate me. But that was like, okay, that was into the
That was just
category.
Like right on the fly.
I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
So what are we doing now? All the personal questions are underway. We are going to be reading Romans 12.
Yeah.
Message version, and the attempt with this, we're just gonna read it as it is, mm-hmm. and as stuff comes up, thoughts, objections, doubts, mm-hmm. hopes, things we either believe, don't believe, we're struggling, whatever, we're just gonna talk about it, attempt to create some organic dialogue when mm-hmm. it comes to this. And so, you know, we'll just read through as much as we read through, probably at least 20 minutes. I don't know, unless the conversation sucks, and then we'll end it. But my hope is that it won't.
Cool. Are we reading the whole chapter 12 or?
No, I'm just going to start it off here. I mean, the attempt is to get through. It'd be cool to get through it. So we'll just see. I don't know. It depends. Hey, we might not think much of this and we'll just read it and that's it. And we're over and done with it. And then we're out.
Cool. Let's do it.
So we'll find out here. So I'll read.
Okay.
The message.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
The message.
We also have the ESV over on this side of the table. So.
Oh, yeah. Shumi, you can read the ESV if something comes up.
I'll just be like overdubbing it. So, no, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Romans 12, message version. Place your life before God. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. You know what? Before I would continue there, I think it's really cool saying, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Mm-hmm. Because I feel for me, you know, my church experience and such has been a big contributor to this idea of I need to be doing shit for God, mm-hmm. that He's not the one who's doing shit for me on my behalf. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It makes me think like, wow, maybe He actually does love me. Like someone you love, you know, is willing to do stuff for you. It's not all about you doing things for them. And maybe that's a big reason why a lot of us get burnt out or don't trust in who we think God is, because it's like, well, I need to not be drinking so much. I need to not be smoking. I need to not be hooking up with girls. I need to not be cursing. I need to not be, and it's this idea of, according to this, it sounds like we're missing a big portion of He's doing stuff for us. So, and I wonder, what is that He's doing for us? Like, how deep does that go? Because I know for right now, I'm praying that God hooks my ass up with a job, because as it stands, I won't be able to live in this place at the end of the month if I don't find a job. You know what I mean? Like, I need that. I want that. And, you know, if I get a great job, does that come from Him? And I guess that's where faith comes in. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on that whole thing?
Yeah, I think here, Shuman, what do you?
I got nothing.
Shuman just showed up in the room, dude. You didn't notice?
I thought you were going for something. Sorry.
Well, I was gonna drop a joke. Like, when as soon as you asked, you guys got anything? I was just gonna like sneak up real slow to the mic and go, nope.
That works. That makes for a good podcast. Yeah, that's good.
You know.
Yeah, no, man. I think right here we have to look the thing that God has done for us. I think it's talking about the eternal perspective.
But not here in the now, like He doesn't actually do
here
stuff
right now.
Here
he does do it
planet.
Now. But I think it's like that's what's going to drive us. The eternal is going to be what's going to be more fulfilling than what is here now, you know, because a lot of time people can look to their jobs to define them, and then they would get their identity from their job or a relationship or whatnot. So it's like, well, if you look at what God has done for you, like giving you a new identity or you know, your salvation and your adoption into heaven, not by what you do or acting like that, but because now he sees you that way because of what he's done at the cross. You know, I think now for me, looking at scripture, I used to look it and read it literally and just apply it right away to my life. But now reading scripture, I would see who is it written to, looking at the context, because you could get really, really, really confused if you just read it and just try to apply it directly to you, you know? So yeah, man, I think also reading it in the gospel-centric way where you're bringing it back to what Jesus has already accomplished for us through the cross. Does that make sense?
Okay. I'll chime in for Schumann. Nope.
No, I mean, I get it. And for me, like, I definitely, we were just talking about this earlier this morning before we came on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I really, have you ever done the Strengths Finder 2.0 or the Strengths-Based Leadership courses?
I have.
Cool. They do a test for anybody listening
Refresh
that hasn't done
memory.
It. You take an online test and it tells you what your strengths are based on how you answer the questions of the test. And it's actually really legit. Even though I tried to throw the test, like a lot of the stuff is it comes up with the right answers regardless of how much you try to throw it. Cause I'm always like, oh, well this, that, you know, whatever. I always try to throw a test to make sure that I look better than I do, which is a bit counterproductive. But, like all of my strengths are about doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And I realize that the antithesis of that is that my relationships are all focused on how much I can achieve for somebody. Mm. And if I'm not doing something for somebody, I feel like I'm not being productive and I won't be appreciated. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that as far as like how, like it's basically speaking and saying, this kind of goes where you were going, Sloan, but like, where your work is, that's not where your relationships are. Mm-hmm. And like that's kind of huge for me. And I know our friend Richard Gajon is like that too. He and I went through the course together, and he and I are both like really about getting stuff done and achievement and stuff like that. So yeah.
Was like the worst chirps ever. I'm bad at crickets. I don't know how to, like, people who can do crickets, I'm really impressed with. Can you whistle? Not like, but like with your fingers in your mouth, like really high pitched.
No, I can't.
No? Okay.
I want to.
I figure like because somebody who like grew up in a gang can know how to do that, because you got to like whistle out for cops.
I just cluck. The essays, Shoot, the essay some whistle.
Colorado gang right there, dude. Yeah. Some Colorado suburb gang. That's whistle.
Yeah. That's how you know it's things are about to go down, is you hear off in the distance. It's great.
I got
that. That joke was horrible.
That was bad.
People will no longer listen to this.
Don't you dare edit it out.
I might. Anyway.
Shall I continue?
Yeah, let's do it.
Shall?
Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to a level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. It sounds like we got to be patient with stuff, and damn, that's always hard.
Yeah.
Well-formed maturity. But it is what lasts in the end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In speaking to you out of a deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us. not by what we are and what we do for him. I mean, it's kind of like what I mentioned there before. Like, damn, if it's really not about what we do for God, that's pretty awesome. But again, like, how do we mess that up as the church? Like, how do we misinterpret that as we need to, like, go and do stuff and be stuff? And I know for me, I had a lot of anxiety with growing up in church because there seemed to have been this tone of, you know, if Jesus isn't your savior, you're going to hell. You need to get saved, and then you need to basically work to get other people saved, because if you don't tell them and they don't hear about it, they die, then they go to hell. Like, that really seemed to have been the overlying theology behind the church growing up as a kid. And I think that really created a huge anxiety in me of never feeling good enough for God, of, you know, concern for other people. And it was just this really shitty thing. And I don't know, maybe there was like some gems of truth within that, but I feel like by and large, the whole thing just got so fucking twisted that it just ultimately became this ugly thing, brought me into, you know, deep depression, anxiety, confusion, frustration. And it's been hard to relate with people. Frankly. And as a result of that, I feel I've been like, I've struggled with believing God's anything good. It's been easy for me to think that he's like really shitty, you know? And that's, then it's kind of sad. That doesn't seem to be what this is saying. This seems to be saying the exact opposite. It doesn't matter at all what I try to do for God. And we were talking about this morning, Schumann, where, you know, now I had a beautiful thing happen this yesterday, actually, biking over to Cabrillo Point here in San Diego. It's all the way at the southern edge of Point Loma. It's where there's the lighthouse. Beautiful place, gorgeous place. And on the bike ride over there, I just found myself thinking so much about, you know, my relationship with Maria and how in some ways, like, I really made a bad choice and in that, a breaking up with her last week, and how I love this girl, and that was just a bad move. Thinking about job stuff, thinking about podcast stuff, thinking about ultimately going off to grad, all this stuff, and how all of it would go down into this funnel of how can I use it all to do stuff for God. And believe it or not, created the same amount of anxiety that I just have been constantly living with over these last number of years. And I just found myself yesterday really getting a sense of what we're talking about here in Romans, that it, I have freedom to do whatever the hell I want to do with my life. And according to what the Bible tells me, the truth is none of that matters, that God is the one ultimately who saved me. And it was shown through what Jesus did. And that is what ultimately matters. And whether I choose to do everything with my life striving for God, or I choose to do everything and be like, no, I'm going to really just do what makes me comfortable, which makes me most secure. It sounds like we would be loved by God regardless. That's pretty fucking awesome, if you ask me.
That is.
To live in that reality. So every time I look at Point Loma, I want to remember that. So that was a beautiful thing for me yesterday.
That's awesome, Jim. I think people get that twisted easily, where their relationship with God can become a performance-based relationship, and that's where they don't read Scripture. Where they feel the people want to see progress. They want to base it off of your works, you know, and see if you're progressing. But in reality, man, it's like, just like as we read, we can't bring anything to the table. And the word says our works, even our good works, it's like going to God and giving him a dirty tampon, you know? So it's only
which it does say, it says that elsewhere, basically. And just for people who are listening, like, what the hell? Like, were that field?
Where did that come from?
But
tampons, talk about tampons in the Bible.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy to see where it's going. It's based on what he has done for us already. You know what, like it says.
Yeah. What he said.
I'll continue here.
Okay. Have you got the verse 9 yet?
No.
I'm reading a different version. I'm just trying to make sure.
Sure. It looks like I'm at like verse 5. Message doesn't give out like the. yeah, diverse numbers and such.
Specifically.
Which I actually kind of like. It's much more like a novel, like a book that you read, and doesn't have that religious association for me.
Yeah.
The only way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of the body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So, since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. Easier said than done, I think, you know, hearing that, because it's like, you know, if it, to make a beautiful home takes, you know, having a, say for example, a nicely set kitchen table, it also takes having a working toilet that at times you might have to plunge and get dirty with. If I had to choose one task over the other, I'd rather do the table setting. And it's also the one that will bring more outward appreciation. You know, people will be like, damn, the table looks really nice. People aren't going to be like, holy shit, man, you got a working toilet. This is incredible. Who did this? You know what I mean? It's like, I'd rather be, you know, a beautiful hand or, you know, something in the body rather than Schumann's hairy taint. Listen to the last podcast episode to understand that reference. Dude, because remember, once we get to 40,000 likes, you're going to be sending out hair to people, to all those 40,000 people. Happen. You have enough hair to send it out to those 40,000 likers.
Oh my gosh.
There aren't scissors strong enough. Caesars? Caesars?
Little Caesars. Hey, do you want to tell us that joke?
No.
Why?
Because it's retarded.
It's racist.
You tell me all the time. Are you calling me, dude, which, hey, I understand. It's a politically incorrect term.
Well, okay. Okay, so
I don't remember what the right one is.
Here's my soapbox on the whole retarded comment. All retarded means is held back. If someone is mentally retarded, they are mentally held back and not keeping up, like, you know, somebody who's not being held back. We've turned it into such this like PC word. Blah. I used to work with a kid that had Down syndrome, or as I like to say, he was Downs with the sickness, and he's the most incredible person in the world, but he was retarded. Like, he was mentally handicapped. He was held back. Even in music theory, there's something called a retardando. It means you slow down at the end. You're holding back your tempo at the end of the song. You retard.
Please send all hate mail to the Church for Fucked Up People, care of John Schumann.
Yeah.
I'm having fun with you guys.
I'm having fun with you.
Dude. Okay.
All right, so.
Yes. I'll continue here. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. That word preach, oh, I hate that word. It sends chills up my spine, but, you know.
Preach.
That's the church burnt talking.
Preach.
I know it means well. I know it intentionally. At the root, it means very well. So
preach.
If you preach.
Preach.
Just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Sounds like we'd have a pretty kick-ass world if we all did that. You know, it's... Mm-hmm.
Dig it.
I think it's a good way to go. All right. Bible's got some good advice in here.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Weird.
Yeah. What was the verse you said you wanted me to get to?
9.
Yo, we're there.
We're there? Oh,
dude,
my gosh.
Dude, exit 9. We're here.
I love the way that it's stated here in the ESV.
You want to read it?
Yeah. So it starts out with like a paragraph breaker. And the breaker says, marks of a true Christian. And then it gets to verse 9 and it says, let love be genuine. That's the whole first sentence. The second half of that is abhor what evil, hold fast to what is good. And then it goes back to love. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And contribute to the needs of the saints and show hospitality. But it like starts off that whole paragraph, that whole subject with let love be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole statement. That's a complete thought. That is the most important thing. And that's really, I believe if that were happening on a consistent basis, the whole church would have a completely different look, a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this whole podcast is about. Is letting love be genuine, being real, being like flying in the face of danger for other people.
But we're also going to miss that mark, and I think at times we're going to really miss it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, I might just have a shitty day, and I'm going to be like, Shimon, you're pissing me off, but I won't say it on the podcast, and it's just going to come off that way. It's not like we're human, so like, that's our intention.
Mm-hmm.
That's our ultimate intention. That's our ultimate goal, but
like all the rest of us is people. I need a safe word with you, dude.
Yeah, and I think like,
have one Coca-Cola, right?
That's mine. I need one for you.
What is it? What's it going to be?
Duke,
could you do Crocodile Dundee?
Philanthropist.
No.
Yeah. Crocodile Dundee.
Yes.
Please, no, no, no.
Because that reference never comes up.
Yeah, well, no. But neither does philanthropist.
You can't even say it.
Exactly. That's why it's a good safe word. I'll never
it's
have to use it.
It's not going to be that safe if
I'll
you
never
can't
have
say
to
it.
Use it.
Hey, I want to read that from the message.
Okay.
Because frankly, I think just what you had read sounded like a lot of like, for me, really like churchy wordage.
Because of zeal.
Christianese.
It felt like a list of things to do for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think somebody can easily read that and like, well, I got to do all this.
If God's going to like me. Yeah. For God to like me.
But yeah, go ahead and read the message.
And again, like I think with that in mind, it's, I think the best way, my opinion, the best way to interpret all of this stuff is this is the best way for us to live. If we can live like this, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to do any of these things in order for God to love you.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we really want to have like the best life, the best community, the best relationships, like mm-hmm. this is the best way of going about it.
Mm-hmm.
From message, starting with verse 9 here, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. I love that. It's like, willing to be on, you know, second string, the, you know, B squad. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. You know, what comes to mind when it says, be alert servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. Because, I mean, there's obviously, like, you know, the, you know, I'm trying to be careful with my words here, but, you know, obviously, like, Bible teaches us that Jesus is coming back. So mm-hmm. that's something that, you know, in faith, you know, many of us believe, some of us, you know, doubt or struggle with. We're somewhere in between on that mm-hmm. one. You know, many days I find myself believing that. Mm-hmm. Some days I'm kind of like, I don't know, like, I struggle with that one. But, you know, in regards to that, it's saying for us to be expectant mm-hmm. of the master. Is it possible that that means today for something in our lives? What could that possibly mean for us today to be cheerfully expectant of the master, of Jesus?
Like,
sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Because I complicate things as always.
Yeah.
No, it's saying here, be alert servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. What could that mean?
With the hope of knowing that Jesus is coming back, that should bring joy to our heart.
But let's say Jesus doesn't come back today, could that verse still mean something for us today?
I believe, you just keep expecting, because you don't know when he's coming. Kind of like the analogy they use in the Bible is of the, what is it, the be on watch, be on guard. You don't know when, like a robber, a thief, I'm like butchering right now, like, you know, Shimon?
No. I know which verse you're talking about, but I don't know where exactly it is. But it's like something about the roaring lion coming to kill, steal, and destroy.
No. It just says be on guard. Just like a slave is at his house and the master is away, the slave's not going to be on. He's not going to be misbehaving because he doesn't know when the master's coming. Like, you're not going to leave your house. In other words, like, you're not going to leave, if you're babysitting somebody's house, you're not going to throw a house party. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be acting a certain way. You're going to be on your good, you're going to be a good behavior. You're going to be a good person that's going to be watching the house, kind of. I don't even know if this ties in with what we were talking about.
But we're talking about the idea of Christ coming back.
Yeah.
Ultimately, so, expectant of that.
Does that apply today for us? Yes. If Jesus doesn't come back today, I still believe, we still can have joy. We don't know when he's coming back, because the thing is, we don't know when he's coming back. But with the hope of every day, that's where the life, our purpose of life is, like, living every day as if Jesus is coming back, because he has such a greater promise for us, a greater hope for us, and that brings joy to us.
And again, I think what I'm talking about is this idea that, you know, say Jesus doesn't come back today, is there still something that we can be expectant of in Jesus today? Kind of like that God doesn't simply show us his love and that he died on the cross, and he doesn't simply show us his love and that he's coming back for us, but that in between now and then, that he shows love to us in providing things that we need, in bringing blessings into our lives, in joy, or even like in super, like, honestly, I've had some stuff in my life that I believe were supernaturally connected to Jesus. I remember once praying for a woman that her leg would be healed, and she got healed after I had prayed and asked Jesus to heal it. And it just seemed beyond coincidental. Mm-hmm. So examples like that make me think of being expectant of, okay, God, like, today I'm doing the podcast. I need to search for a job today. You know, I want to have some fun tonight with some friends. Like, how can I be expectant of you today? And maybe for me, it'd be like, I think yesterday an expectant moment that I could have had in Jesus was believing that he would actually talk to me. And I think he did that yesterday with this sense that I got of in Point Loma, at Cabrillo Point.
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, that I'm free. And so that's what I'm thinking more along the lines of, like, more subtle every single day things. Like, where's God in the everyday life? And not just this monumental occurrence of him returning. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Q.
Do what?
What? Oh, I said that's Q, yes.
We made it up to that verse. I know that you wanted to make it up to.
Yeah.
And I think we can end it there unless you guys really want to continue. I mean, I think we're.
Yeah.
We're,
I mean, cool. That's cool. Hot,
but yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. So what are you guys going to do with the rest of your day?
It's Labor Day.
Yeah.
Yo, it's Labor Day. Happy Labor Day. Happy. I asked you to Google what the hell Labor Day is all about.
Okay.
What
so Labor Day, now that, like.
What is it? I don't even know what Labor Day is.
So I exited the app on my thing because I didn't think we were going to touch on it because you decided to move on. Give me a second. So Labor Day was.
That sounded snarky. Are you mad at me?
No, not at all. I just thought we were going to hit it at the intro of the last episode. And so.
Yeah, I missed that.
Till the next episode.
So somebody's got to pull his notes back up.
Okay.
The history of Labor Day.
So Labor Day, it's actually a holiday about labor. Weird that they call it that.
Trabajo.
Well, it was started like way back in like 1882 by one of two guys. Records are kind of arguing about the two of them, but there were basically two guys that one of them proposed that they have a day to celebrate like every man's like working day. So, you know, they did that. So it's like 120 years of celebrating people putting out and doing work and doing stuff. So they give you the day off.
So am I basically, would I be spitting in their faces by spending my day looking for work, like working to look for work?
No, I think that's the best way to celebrate it.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know that we're going for that, because you can do that every day.
Well, but yeah. But I mean, the fact that you want to work is the fact that you want to join in a celebration.
Hmm. You know what I think I need to do today? Shimon, will you barbecue for us? Will you cook something for me?
Yeah, I got chicken in there.
I'll do it. Well, I'm vegetarian.
Well, what do you expect me to do?
Damn it.
I'm a wizard with meat.
Need a vegetarian-friendly Labor Day option.
Okay.
You barbecue bell peppers.
You could. We still have that onion in there. Do we have any olive oil?
Yes.
Okay.
Canola, cool. Actually. Grilled. I lied.
That may work. I have a thing. Wait, no. Canola oil is this stuff. Yeah. We'll have to pick up some extra virgin.
Some extra virgin?
Yeah.
I feel like we're in seventh grade laughing at that. I know. That's great.
That's what she said.
I should pick up 69 ounces of it.
Anyway. No, but there's this thing. My old bassist, Lance. You remember Lance?
I remember Lance.
Okay.
I don't know Lance.
He showed me his thing that his wife showed him.
I remember Lance.
But there's an old Brazilian barbecuing technique where you basically cut an onion clean in half, lay it on the barbecue grill face down, and then you can peel off the individual leaves of this caramelized onion and dip them in olive oil. And it's actually pretty legit.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's like hot wings, but vegetarian.
You're now listening to Blackbeard Cooking Podcast.
Why are you calling me Blackbeard?
I keep saying Blackbeard. I don't know. It's obviously not by looking at your face.
I'm not a brunette.
I think it's just having listened.
My name tag is right here. I'm pointing at my chin for those of you at home who can't see this.
And this is the house of ginger, because I'm pretty ginger myself.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we're done with this.
We are done with this.
Eric Stallone, thank you so much for coming in here today.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, for both sessions.
For rapping with us.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Boom, boom. Did you say rapping with us? That was a bad joke. Weird. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody.
How about we head out with Stallone? You want to rap for us?
Rap? I don't rap, dude. I only rap presents. Yo. Yeah, I'm chilling like a villain. Keep it a crackin' like pistachios all day, every day. San Diego, 619 to the 858. Yes, I do this to all them haters. Yo, let's chill right now. Labor Day, they got me working real hard, sweating. Yeah, I don't want to get into racial profiling, so I'm just saying I'm Asian. Yes, I make egg or a rose, and I do this like every day. Ay, I throw up the dubs. Yes, West Side is where I'm from, Linda Vista to be exact, 1222, and I'm out. Yo. Yo.
That was sick. Freestyle all the way.
Laters.
All right.
Peace.
Thanks a lot, guys, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Church for F***ed Up People. Thanks to Dark Letter Productions for putting it together. You can connect with us online through our website, fuckedupchurch.com, and also through Facebook and Twitter. Like, comment, subscribe, and tell your friends. If you're here in San Diego, join our meetup.com page and find out about our next get-together. And if you really like what you hear, you can financially support the podcast at our website, fuckedupchurch.com. We love doing this show, and your contribution helps us take the time to do it. So thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.